This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Right, welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. And this is a conversation I've been waiting to have. I actually been waiting to have it for a couple years, but it came to a head with the new video that we discussed and had the discussion with the diver who took that video of the white shark here off the coast of Alabama. And it's something, you know, last year we talked about it. The same I had another diver who had videoed a white shark last year call into the show and talk about it as well. So these are the anecdotal stories of great white sharks in the Gulf of Mexico. Of course, we've talked about the tagging system that shows you when those sharks are, or at least the tagged ones, are in the Gulf. And we've had videos and also what's happening out there? And that's one of the questions that I'm very happy to have Dr. Marcus Dryman, Assistant Extension Professor of Marine Resources, joining us with the Coastal Research and Extension Center with Mississippi State University. Also, his roots right here in our area with the Sea Grant Program, the Alabama-Mississippi Sea Grant Consortium, not only doing the Mississippi thing, but spending some time right here on Dolphin Island. Dr. Dryman, thanks for your time.
Sean, thanks so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Man, this is exciting. All right, so let's start off with your reaction to this latest white shark video coming from the Gulf.
Well, my first reaction is always excitement. I love seeing videos like that. And it's so great, you know, the advent of these relatively inexpensive action cameras that allow folks to capture footage like this and let you actually get your eyes on the shark itself and verify that it is, in fact, a white shark. And so I was just thrilled to see that video.
So and that's good. I guess I didn't even pause to get the confirmation, but that's a white shark.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's no doubt about it. Absolutely, 100%.
All right. Now, the question is, how, you know, I'm not going to ask you, how many of them are there, Doctor? Am I wrong? Or people that have said, hey, it seems like there's more discussion of great white sharks in the Gulf of Mexico than there has been in my lifetime. It seems like recently, last, I don't know, say 5 years or so. Is that fair to say?
That is absolutely fair to say. And really, I would attribute that to two things primarily. First of all, we're a little more aware of these sharks now than we were, you know, say 10 years ago. And like you mentioned, with the advent of these tags that tell us specifically when the sharks are showing up in certain spots, we just have a better understanding of that. But I would also say equally, it's the fact that these sharks have been under federal management for some time now. They've been protected. And as such, you'd expect their populations to start doing better as a result.
So, yeah, okay, let's talk about that. So a mitigating factor, you know, we talk about shark populations. And listen, you probably get an earful from fishermen, offshore fishermen like me, you know, about how the sharks are everywhere. It's, you can't hardly catch a tuna because of the sharks. But we were always told the longliners depleted the shark numbers in the Gulf. Is that correct? Does that vet out?
You know, not exactly. I mean, okay. Commercial fishing, by and large, had a heavy impact on a lot of shark populations in the Gulf. And sure, that pertains to the great white shark as well. But it's a multitude of things, other fishing types as well. I mean, I always feel like the longliners get a bad rap for that. And it's certainly not all their fault. And to speak to what you said a moment ago, those offshore fishermen that are talking about tuna and hard to land a tuna, they're absolutely right. And that's a separate problem that requires attention as well.
Okay, so because where I was going with the longline thing, just trying to figure out, whatever effect was mitigating the population of great white sharks in the past in the Gulf of Mexico, was that happening here or was it something happening outside the Gulf and there were then fewer to make their way into the Gulf? You following where I'm going with that?
I do, exactly. So white sharks really are a colder water shark. And as you know from living here, our Gulf of Mexico water is not super cold.
Right.
So we wouldn't naturally expect to see a whole lot of white sharks. That's something we expect to see more along coastal New England, off the coast of Massachusetts, and areas like that where white sharks are really pretty common these days. But as their populations start to build back to healthy levels, it does make sense that those populations will start to expand and visit areas that aren't traditionally part of their natural habitat.
Okay, so if just joining us, talking to Dr. Marcus Dryman and talking sharks here, specifically this latest video of a great white from off the coast of Alabama. But so these are overflow or I don't want to say excess but they're overflow sharks, right? Because you said the thing that I wanted to get answered. I always felt that, I guess, growing up, white shark, you know, you're off the coast of South Africa or you're up in the Northeast. You're in these places, you have cold water, upwellings mixed together. That always seemed like great white shark country, not out by the rigs in the Gulf of Mexico.
Absolutely. And you are absolutely correct, and that is still the case. South Africa, areas off South Australia, you know, Brazil, places like that, you know, the coast of the New England coast, you know, the Northwest Atlantic, those are certainly more hot spots for white sharks. But, you know, I would suggest it probably always, I mean, it's definitely always been transient throughout the Gulf of Mexico. We just haven't had the chance to observe them as much as we have in the past 5 to 10 years with folks, you know, taking the spearfishing more often and with the readily available GoPro camera, you know, that folks have strapped to them. So that really has given us a lot more opportunity to observe these animals.
Marcus, are you seeing anything in the observations? Are they more young sharks, more older sharks? Is there anything like that or any commonality, or is it just a kind of a mixed bag?
Well, like, for instance, the one that diver saw on film, that
right.
was a young shark, certainly not a juvenile, but probably not an adult. But for example, the past few years, we've really learned a lot about some purported nursery areas for these white sharks up in New England, particularly Long Island Sound off the coast of New York, where we routinely see a lot of these very, very small great white sharks. So that kind of an area, I think, is a really good example of that, but that's certainly not what's happening down here in the Gulf.
All right, let's put things in perspective for folks. So a little white shark is... Give me an idea, like a 1-year-old, 2-year-old. Yeah. How big is that shark?
A brand new born white shark is about 4 feet long. So they are born ready to go, and they look exactly like a full grown version of a white shark, just shrunk down to about 4 feet.
So when they're babies, but they're still fairly sized when they start. How soon? And I know I'm sure it's all specific to shark and the environment, and the amount of food, but you have any kind of general scale that, okay, in year 2, 3, 4, 10 years, first of all, what's the longevity of those sharks and how big do they get and how quickly do they get there?
Sure. So sharks in general are what we consider to be pretty slow growing, late maturing animals. So, you know, off the top of my head, I would say these white sharks grow to 40 years of age.
Wow.
But interestingly, they don't mature until they're, you know, in their teenage years. So, and they grow fairly fast at first, but they can reach really late ages, and they won't be mature until they're probably 10 to 12 years old, maybe even later than that.
Wow. I mean, that's not unheard of, but that's fairly rare in the marine environment, right? For something to reach maturity at such a late age.
Yeah, you know, and really that's the bottom line. Right? That's why sharks, once their populations have been overfished, it takes them so long to recover. So unlike something like a menhaden or a shrimp, whose entire life cycle is on the order of a couple of years, you get these long-lived, slow-growing fish. Once they're over-harvested, it really hurts their populations, and it takes them a while to recover.
Okay. What are they? You know, we started thinking about those classic places you just described for great white sharks, and people can picture what are they there for? Whether it's, marine mammal, or are they there for? I mean, what do great white sharks in the Gulf? Yes, I know you're going to say anything they want. What do they feed on here? What are they looking for mostly?
Well, that is a great question. So off the coast of Massachusetts, you could know exactly what they're there for. They're there for those, you know, seals and sea lions. Same thing off the coast of California. It makes sense what they're feeding on. We certainly know what they're feeding on off the coast of South Africa and places like that. The Gulf of Mexico, we just don't know. We really have no idea. So what that shark is doing here per se, my guess is that it's a transient and it just made its way around the coast of Florida and is up on our way, you know, but not as a permanent resident. But honestly, that's just speculation. We really don't know.
What kind of travel, I mean, let's just pick the ones you have, you know, the data on, of course, from those transmitters. What kind of travel distances are we looking at? What's a extreme example probably to catch people's attention of what kind of distance a white shark can travel in a year's time?
Oh, I mean, they can cross the entire ocean basins. I mean, there have been satellite tagged sharks that have gone across an entire ocean. So, I mean, they truly epitomize a highly migratory species, and it's nothing for them to make, you know, migrations on the order of thousands of miles. I mean, it's just the kind of fish it is.
It's amazing. Now, is it the boys or the girls that move more, or is it pretty split the same? Do you see anything? Because I think most of the tags I was watching last year, I think they were females, I think, but I may be wrong.
You know, I'm not even sure. I know for a lot of shark species, you see very different movement patterns for the males versus the females, and I can't remember if that's the case for white sharks or not, but it wouldn't surprise me if it was, if the females are doing totally different things than the males, because that's very much in line with what a lot of shark species do.
Can you, now people can go look at the video that's been posted up this most recent or some of the older ones and get an idea, but anything to help folks ID, okay, let's get it, a white shark versus a mako or something that might, obviously hammerhead's going to be different, but maybe some sharks that people might mistake for white sharks. Do you have any identifiers to tell people listening what to look for?
Sure. I mean, it's just like you said, you know, the shark that folks would confuse a white shark with is a mako because they're very closely related. They're in the same order of sharks. And so the tail is a nice way to distinguish. So makos and white sharks have more of a symmetrical tail where it looks like a crescent moon as opposed to a hammerhead who's got a very long lobe on the top and a shorter lobe on the bottom. They've got pointed snouts. That's another big differentiator. Now, a mako shark is going to be a different color, and if you're seeing it in the water, that color will really stand out. Makos are a brilliant kind of blue color, whereas white sharks tend to just be your standard gray and white. And, you know, another thing is their behavior. You see a shark really slowly cruising like that. That's a typical white shark behavior, whereas makos tend to be moving a little bit faster through the water.
If people ID those sharks from their perch up atop a condo in South Baldwin or somewhere like that, and they're seeing things that are on the beach, better chance of it being something else? Or is there anything in that research that shows, are the white sharks here staying offshore? Are they coming closer to shore? Is there a mixed bag? What are you seeing?
They are staying offshore. I mean, they're pretty much at the upper limit of their thermal tolerance, even at 100 feet deep in the Gulf of Mexico. So for them to get up and closer to shore where it's really shallow and the water is warmer, that's just very, very, very unlikely. So not like it would be off the coast of Massachusetts or something. Now, if you're perched on your condo up in Baldwin County and sea sharks on the beach, they could be black-tip sharks for sure, or hammerheads, or sometimes tiger sharks. But definitely white sharks, we expect them to be further offshore.
What do you see, as you talked about the rebound of sharks in the Gulf of Mexico, what shark species have you seen the best rebound in? I mean, let's talk about things that are more indigenous, obviously, to our area. Is it bull sharks? Is it makos? Is it hammerheads? Is it black tips? What's made the biggest rebound?
Black tips, I mean, hands down. So black tip, I always like to say, is an example of a management success story. So, you know, it's a sustainably managed fish. That's a population of fish that is harvested commercially and is often caught recreationally, and their populations can withstand that. So as someone who's dedicated their life to the study of sharks and who is, you know, an absolute shark fan to the nth degree, I also support sustainable fisheries for species like black-tipped sharks because the science supports that. And the science says there are plenty of sharks that can be removed from those populations without any detriment to the species' health overall. So black-tipped sharks are a really good example of shark populations that have really done well in the Gulf of Mexico.
Do you think that's one of the issues? And if you're just joining us, talking to Dr. Marcus Dryman, talking sharks here, and we start off with white sharks, but do you see that, you know, there's been limitations for shark catch tournaments and all that, and limitations obviously on what people can possess? I know for Alabama, maybe the same is true for, other states and other areas. Do you think that that's about IDing the shark as much it is, because you're talking about the sustainability of harvest for a black tip, but, you know, if they close things down, is that because people don't know a black tip from another shark, or where does that stand?
Well, what we've come to learn in the past handful of years is that recreational fisheries is something we used to ignore 10 years ago insofar as their effect on shark populations. We know that recreational fisheries can take their toll on shark populations. But what we also know is that your average recreational angler is pretty good at identifying sharks. Yeah, that's why our survey work has demonstrated that they're pretty adept at telling one species from another. And, of course, commercial guys know the species ID very well. So there are some, you know, sharks are, in general, can be really tough to tell apart. But folks that target them do a really good job with that.
And it's there's so many other questions. I'm going to have to get you back on the show very soon to talk more sharks. Maybe we'll do it before maybe the Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo or get in an in-depth discussion then.
I would absolutely love that. Thank you very much. That'd be my pleasure.
Hey, and Dr. Drymond, somebody wants to reach out to you. We've got more shark questions. Something has come up. How do they get in touch with you?
So you can just email me. My email address is my first and last name. So marcus.drymond@msstate.edu. Or I've got a website. If you just Google my name, it'll take you to my website. There's contact information there. We've got a Facebook page that we post a lot of our shark videos on, and it's got a great kind of cartoon clip that shows how our longline vessel works, which is our scientific shark monitoring program. So if you're interested in sharks in this part of the world, we'd love to hear from you. We'd love to be in contact with you, answer any questions, and we'd love for you guys to see some of the work that we're doing to help keep shark populations in this part of the world strong.
All right, count me in as one of those interested parties. I will be checking it out. Dr. Marcus Drymond, thanks for your time.
Hey, thank you so much for having me.